If you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. And we're going to be reading verse 66 through verse number 69. And our Lord asked a question, and I'd like to magnify that question today. Will you also go away? John chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 66 and read down through verse number 69. The Bible said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, of course, in verse number 70 and 71, magnifies what's going to happen with Judas. He said, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. You pray with us and pray for us, and I want to try to bring the message that the Lord has put in our heart. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Bible, the privilege, Lord, to hear the songs of Zion. God, we pray today, Lord, that you would magnify these truths in our heart in a way, Lord, that would help us. Lord, that's always our intent, is to be a blessing, to be a help. God, I pray today that you'd help us to be that. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school. Each one, Lord, that was able to attend, each teacher that, Lord, taught the Word of God today. I pray you'd bless them Sunday to Sunday. I pray you'd bless them the children's ministries. And bless us in this auditorium. Everywhere, Lord, where truth is being proclaimed this Lord's day, may you add your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible in chapter number 6 in the book of John has a lot to say that revolves around this question, will ye also go away? I'd like to examine that for a little while today. Something that the Lord put in my heart, and I'd like to say this in opening the message, is that here in the Bible said they walked no more. His disciples went back and walked no more with him. And that was a permanent going away. You never saw him again. They never got back together with Jesus. They never followed him again. But the Lord put something in my heart. Peter is the one that right here said, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet in Peter's life, we know there was a temporary going away. How many knows what I'm talking about? He was walking afar off. He was out there denying that he even knew him. I don't know about you, but that spoke to my heart. And I believe I know why it spoke to my heart. Because as I examine my own life, I see that season of temporary going away. Getting too busy for God, too busy for the bread, too busy for a quiet time, too busy to pray. And I'm going to say this, a lot of times when you read a passage like that, you think, well, what he's talking about, what the pastor's talking about, what the Word of God talking about, is going away from the church. You don't see him in the church no more. I just want to make a statement this morning. I think you'll agree with me if you've lived for God very long. You can be sitting in the church and be away. Not be in that sweet place of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I call that a temporary. And I think some even, I'll ask this, and I'm not asking this for an embarrassment, but just to prove a point, and maybe not one hand will go up. But how many's ever been out of church for a period of time? Okay, There's dotted out through the congregation people that's been away even from the church for a period of time. It wasn't permanent. And I think about men like Abraham that had a lapse in their faith. I'm not excusing it or justifying it in my life or anybody else's. I'm just saying it's a fact. It's a fact of life. Jesus said, will you also go away? John the Baptist had that time, that lapse, if you please, when he was there in the prison and said, art thou he, or should we look for another? What causes folk to go away, whether it's a temporary going away or whether it's like Jesus is saying here, a permanent going away? I'm going to give you some things as the Lord spoke to my heart. And I believe if we will look in our own life, that we will probably be able to see some of these things are evidenced even in our own life. I got to thinking about, and we have prayer requests on Wednesday night, and prayer was requested and should be for those that are going off to college. And our kids are all back in school now. I suppose everybody's back in school by now. And I just wrote down a little statement. I didn't want to forget it. As the Lord put it in my heart. Just because you go off to college don't mean you have to go away from Christ. You can go off to college and not go away from Christ. You can go off to high school and not go away from Christ. Some of you travel with your jobs. You can go off from home, but you don't have to go away from Christ. Amen. And I believe that God is telling us here, as we look at these things, some of the things that would help us to understand. To me, it's hard to imagine walking with Jesus this far and then just going away. I'm not going to walk with him anymore. There was a hard saying that we'll examine here in just a moment. And, beloved, let me say this. Taking your stand with Jesus is not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Taking your stand with Jesus against yourself is not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Admitting that he's right and you're wrong is not always easy. But I tell you, it's a blessing when that can come about in our life. I want to examine some things here. And go right on through the message and trust the Lord will speak to our heart. Turn all the way back in chapter 6 to verse 1 and verse number 2. What are some of the things, the characteristics or the things that cause people to go away? In verse number 1, Jesus said, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Now watch this, the word because. Why did they follow him? They followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Now, God had a plan among the Jewish people, and that was the Jews required a sign. And so God would show the Jews a sign time after time after time. But I want to say this morning, one of the first things that causes people to go away is because they're following Jesus for the wrong reason. They're following Jesus because of what he is able to do. And the purest reason to follow Jesus is because of who he is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is my Lord. He is my Master. He is my soon coming King. And that is the purest reason. Some people follow him for the wrong reason, because of what he's done. Let me give you this. In this case, they were following because of what he had done for others. He had healed their diseases. He had wrought great miracles in their life. But then, let me look at verse number 26 for just a moment and show you something else. Why do people go away? They follow for the wrong reason. The second reason here, look at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, now you understand, in between verse 2 and verse 26, Jesus has fed a multitude with the lad's lunch. He has taken 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and fed 5,000 people.
And so now they've not only been able to see Jesus do something for others, heal their diseases, but they've been able to actually experience Jesus doing something for them. They got fed when they were hungry. Jesus said they were so hungry that if you sent them away, he told Philip, they'll faint. They need something to eat. By the way, let me say this. God knows what we need. Amen. God knows what we need. Look at verse number 26. The Bible said, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me. Now watch this. Something had changed. Not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So now they're not only following Jesus because in the early part of the chapter, because of what he had done for others, Jesus is saying now, you've done forgot what I've done for others, and the reason you're seeking me now is because of what I've done for you. Either one of them, in the long run, will come up short. We cannot follow Jesus just because of what he's done for others or just because of what he's done for us. Let me just say this. If you're saved this morning or if you're lost, he just gave you the breath that's in your body. He's been good to every one of us. We've had something to eat this morning. We've had something to drink this morning. We have eyes to see the pages of the Word of God. We hear ears, have ears to hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And God's been good to us this morning. But if the only reason we serve Him and follow Him is because He's been good to us, won't be long. We'll go away. We'll go away. So selfishness had come in. What I can get. Faith versus sight. They could see what he had done for others. They could experience what he had done for them. And yet, in the text, they go away. And they're found no more to walk with him. Think about that. I'll just say this morning. Please listen to me carefully. I say it humbly and reverently. If you've already thought something like this, I'll never go away. You probably better listen up. I tell you, we ought to be saying something like this. By the grace of God, I don't want to go away. By the grace of God, I'm not going away. By the grace of God, I want to stay with the book. By the grace of God, I want to stay with the church. By the grace of God, I want to stay with my family. By the grace of God, I want to serve Him. I'm not going to make a statement like, this preacher will never go away. Even Paul said he feared. Amen. Lest by any means would I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Think about that. Disapproved of God. And so there was selfishness. Then let me give you another thing here. They crept in. Pride. He said, what do you mean, preacher? Look here in verse number 30. They said therefore unto him, Jesus had told them, labor not for that meat that perisheth, but that meat, in verse 27, that endureth into everlasting life. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, or in the desert. And as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. These people that are going to go away are full of pride. They're proud of their heritage. They don't understand that the bread of God is standing in front of them. That the bread of God is offering that bread to them. And they're going to go back and talk about Moses and talk about the manna that came down. And listen, there's nothing wrong with being, my friend, proud of your heritage. But I tell you what, if your heritage comes between you and the bread of God, then, beloved, it'll cause you to go away. Cause you to go away. Notice what the Bible said. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Now listen to me carefully. We know that God is the one that made that little coriander seed, that little wafer that was sweet like honey, that was white, that fell upon the dew. I mean, all of that's a miracle. Say amen. When the sun came out and the dew disappeared, the manna disappeared. God gave them, oh, praise God. He gave them just enough for each day. Remember that in the message. I'll get back to that after a while. Just enough to each day until he came to the day before the Sabbath. And then he gave them enough for 2 days. He would let it keep from one day to the next. By the way, there was today the Sabbath is still Saturday, but Sunday is the Lord's Day. Amen. There was a time in America where ladies, listen, and I'm not fussing, I'm just telling you a truth, where ladies didn't even want to be burdened down with the cooking on Sunday. They did all the cooking for Sunday on Saturday. How many remembers those days? Amen. And just got it ready to spread the table after church. Amen. And fellowship. My grandpa was so old-fashioned, he didn't want you in the front yard throwing a ball on Sunday. He wants you to sit on the porch and rest. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I could learn a lot from my grandpa. See, when preachers don't take a day, they're certainly not resting on Sunday. Somebody say amen. After all, my grandson said that's why he wanted to be a preacher, because then he just had to work one day a week. Amen. Beloved, they go away because of pride. Now, we can say that about lost people, but I've got too much of that myself. Say amen. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Let things, listen, good things come between me and the best thing. Somebody help me this morning. Guilty. Anybody else guilty? Grandchildren are good things. Children are good things. Maintaining the church is a good thing. Maintaining your home is a good thing. Maintaining your vehicle is a good thing. But I tell you something right now. When good things come between us and the best thing, they become a bad thing. Help me this morning. I may not be preaching where you live, but I sure am preaching where I live. The bread of heaven has come down and desires to walk with me and talk with me. Amen. Pride. The next thing I see that causes a man to go away is unbelief. Look at verse 36 through verse number 30. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. And that the Father giveth me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Look at verse 36. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Beloved, listen. Most of the time when we think about an unbeliever, and most of the time it's true, you're talking about somebody that's unconverted, that's never been born again, somebody that's never been saved. But I think I've said this in this pulpit before, and I believe it to be true. I believe there's a measure of unbelief in every one of us. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is when that centurion came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You say, preacher, what's really going on when we don't pray like we should? We're not believing like we should. Unbelief will keep you from praying like you should. What's really going on, preacher, when I'm not faithful like I should be? I tell you what's going on. There's a measure of unbelief. We don't really believe that God's going to bless that faithfulness. And God can use that faithfulness. Amen. Here in the Bible, Jesus is telling us they're going to go away. And they're following for the wrong reasons. There's selfishness evidence. Pride is evidence. Unbelief is evidence. Another thing that's evidence. Verse number 41. Then they murmured at him. They're complaining. Let me say this to you. Help me. Somebody help me. We all talked about that a while ago, being away on that temporary basis. We've come to know the Lord, have the peace of God flooded our soul, passes all understanding. We know what it is to walk with joy, the joy of the Lord in our heart. And yet we get away. How many knows what will happen? You'll start murmuring. You'll start complaining. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, it'll be going on in your spirit. Somebody help me. And Jesus is telling us here that this complaining and this murmuring, verse 41 down through verse number 51, the Bible said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Oh, no, no, they didn't know his father. Joseph wasn't his father. I came down. How then is it he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus answered and said, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. By the way, beloved, that one verse of scripture right there ought to cause us to shout all the way to glory. Amen. We wasn't looking for him. He was looking for us. Amen. Thank God when he went to looking for us, some of us, my friend, listen, God give us enough grace and faith and mercy to go to looking for him. He initiated it. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am. Boy, I tell you what, I believe that was a burr in their saddle, don't you? Every time Jesus looked at the Jews and said, I am. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? He said, I am that I am. I am the bread of life, he said. I am the water of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. I believe the I am was a burr in their saddle. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove. Watch this now. They go from selfishness and pride and unbelief to striving among themselves. It's going to get even worse than this. They strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. The Jews stumbled right here. They said a little later, this is a hard saying. Give you a couple of things real quickly. No preacher and no priest has ever turned a little wafer or a glass of juice or wine into the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what it's talking about. Secondly, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that Jesus is not talking about running up to him like a vampire and biting him and drinking his blood, or biting on his body and eating his flesh. What Jesus is talking about, let me give you this clearly as I know how, is being a partaker of what's about to happen. His flesh was going to be hung on an old rugged tree. His blood was going to flow from his brow in the garden, from his brow with the thorns, from his back, from his hands, from his feet. Jesus is talking about being a partaker of what's about to happen. He was headed to Calvary. They, beloved friend, didn't understand. They were just like you and I were before we got saved, Brother Rhodes. We were blind. How can I wander in sin for 27 years? I'll tell you how, with blinders on. Oh, happy day when Jesus took the blinders away and let me see the bread that came down from heaven. Let me partake. There is no forgiveness apart from the cross. There is no pardon apart from Calvary. And beloved, here in the Bible, they're striving. You say, preacher, does it get worse? Watch. By the way, let me just say this. When you go away from him, whether it's temporarily or whether it's permanently, it always gets worse and worse and worse. Look at chapter 7 and verse number 1. I'll show you how bad it got. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. He wouldn't walk among the Jews because the Jews sought to kill him. Just when you think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. You want to know why America's getting worse? Because America's going away from God. There are men that have lost family. They thought, well, this is not too bad. Miss this service, miss that service, miss my Bible here, miss my Bible there. You say, well, it can't get any worse. Oh, yes, it can. Yes, it can. Jesus said, will you also go away? Brother Ralph, he didn't say this to the worst. The worst had already gone. He said it to the best. Think about that. He didn't say this to the ones that had already left. He said it to the ones that remained. Will ye also go away? I believe this morning we've looked at some things that will cause people to go away. I believe it would be fitting this morning to look at just a couple of things quickly that would cause us to stay. The Bible said in verse number 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Look at this now, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered, I want to look at two things quickly. Number one, the right answer. Peter had the right answer. The right answer involved whom? He said, to whom shall we go? Honey, let me tell you this. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ is to whom. You can't go anywhere else for eternal life. That is the whom. He had the right answer. Not only do we see the whom, the person of Christ, but we see the word that he's a partaker of Christ. Thou hast the words of eternal life. You say, preacher, I don't understand the correlation between the Bible and Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Beloved, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God. The Bible is the written Word of God. No wonder this brought a whole new meaning as the Spirit of God graciously fellowshipped with me around this passage. It brought a whole new meaning to Jesus saying, give us this day our daily bread. Honey, it's not just talking about a little devotion in the Bible. I'm not against that. But it's talking about partaking of the one that went to Calvary. Gave his life. The bread that came down from heaven. One of the men in prison, preached in prison. You all have met him, Brother Napper. Many of you have met him, a dear man of God. Brother Napper used to tell the men in prison, he said, some of you guys do your devotions just so you can check the box. I did it. I read that passage of Scripture. Oh, there ought to be more to walking with Jesus than checking a box. Amen. I'm not against checking the box. I'm not against being systematic. Don't get me wrong. But if the system takes you away from Him, you ought to just ditch the system and get with Him. Amen. Amen. Sister, can't remember her name now. Kyla Rowland. Her mommy was a godly woman. Inspired many of the songs that Kyla wrote. And her mommy wrote out all the plans for her funeral. I want this one to preach. And I want this one to open in prayer. I want this one to preach. I want these to sing. And here are the songs that I want sung. And she spelled it all out. She told what she wanted in her funeral service. Got right down to the end. The last line said, I want you to go by every word that I've written on this page, lest God gets in it. She said, if God gets in it, tear this up and go with God. You just have to know. Amen. Sometimes I think there's some things in our life that need to be torn up. And we just need to go with God. The first thing I see is the right answer. The second thing I see is the right anchor. How many of you have been around long enough to know the storm's going to come? The winds are going to blow. The waves are going to be boisterous. You say, preacher, where do you see the right anchor? In verse number 69, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Would you please, just for a moment. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. I want to read verse 17 down through verse 20. The Bible said, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, that word immutable means it's unchanging. You can't change it. Doesn't matter what you try to do. You can't change it. In which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. You get right back to the bread. That's the anchor, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Beloved, Peter had the right answer. Brother Steve, when Peter was out there in that court, in that particular time frame, believers were not sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. When he was walking afar off, here's what I want to say. You don't have to agree with me. But I believe the reason that Peter had that conversation with Jesus after his resurrection, Jesus said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? I believe there's a reason. That's this. There was that storm of persecution that would come if Peter would admit that he knew Jesus. They said, you're one of them. We can tell by your speech. Oh, no, not me. I don't know him. Oh, he told Jesus, he said, I'm going with you all the way. If all the rest of them forsake you, you can count on me, Lord. I'm going all the way. Every one of us has had that attitude at some point in our life, only to find out how weak this stinking flesh we have really is. Thank God the Bible said in the book of Psalms, he knoweth our frame. That's not to excuse, but it's the state of fact. I believe some way or another, Jesus was able to make eye contact with Peter. And the Word of God said he went out and he wept bitterly. And I'm going to tell you something was going on while all that was going on. The anchor was still open. He was still able to say, I believe and I'm sure. And he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. The anchor was still holding. Beloved friend, God only knows what we'll go through this week. But I'll tell you one thing. Blessed be God, I know this. I'll not go through anything without an anchor. There was an anchor dropped in my soul when Jesus saved me by his grace. Not all been smooth sailing. But I tell you this. I don't want to go away. By the grace of God, I want to stay. I don't want to get farther away. I want to get nearer. Nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Give us this day our daily bread. When you and I were saved by the grace of God, we were partakers of the bread of life in salvation. And on the journey, God intends that you and I be partakers of the bread of life in sanctification. Making us more like Jesus. Will ye also go away? Preacher? Pastor? Will ye also go away? Sunday school teacher, will you also go away? Young mom, young dad, will you also go away? I'll say this morning. Everybody that's ever been saved, there'll be no satisfaction anywhere else. David looked for satisfaction, and the only place he could find it was getting right with God, getting that joy back in his heart and in his life. Amen. How many's glad you come this morning? How many say, preacher, by the grace of God, I don't want to go away. Elimelech, Brother Rose, went down to Moab. He went away. He went from Bethel down to Moab. The Bible said to sojourn there. Took his family. The Word of God, if you read just a couple of verses, they were there 10 years. Went for just a brief period of time. Oh, it scares me. Sometimes when I see decisions made, it scares me. I don't want to be 10 years in Moab, do you? He lost his life. Their sons lost their lives. And 3 widows head back to Bethlehem. Somebody could have said to Elimelech, Elimelech, you're going away. Yeah, but not for long. He might have said something like we do in Tennessee. We'll be back shortly. There's a danger in going away. There's a danger in going away. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for Jesus, the bread of God, the bread from heaven. Lord, this morning, you know I've already asked you to forgive me. God, there may be others that have traded God's best for something that's good. There may be somebody here today, Lord, that's never known the joy of sins forgiven. In 1 John, you said they went out from us because they were not all of us. Lord, sometimes people just need to get saved. Sometimes saved people just need to come clean with God. Lord, I do pray and realize, Lord, it won't be in our own strength, but by the grace of God, we'd stay. We wouldn't go away. Help us as a church, Lord, not to go away. Go running after every wind of doctrine. Help us to stay by the stuff. Help us to stay in the old time way. Lord, if we need correction, correct us. Lord, we need help. In this generation, help us, Lord.